He is my secret.
What I did without choice.
I know.
In the name of peace and sanity.
But not in the name of the Doctor.
With me now is the man who's written Saturday night's episode, the executive producer and lead writer of Doctor Who, Stephen Moffat. And, of course, if you want to ask him a question, you can do so by phoning us 03 700 100 110, but get them in quickly. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon. Hello, hello.
How are you feeling about Saturday night's
Absolutely
episode?
Terrified. Bricking
no.
it. We're showing
are
it all
you?
Over the world, you know.
Yeah,
we might just cancel it because I'm too stressed.
Oh, don't do that.
All right, I won't.
There's a cinema in Wrexham, OK, in Wales, in Eagle Meadow Shopping
You need
Centre.
To say no more.
Right, they've had to organise an extra screening. How does that make you feel?
Two screenings in Wrexham. I didn't think I'd see the day. Brilliant. That is incredibly exciting. We're just thrilled. Nervous. Of course we're nervous. We're terrified because it's a big event and we're cowards.
No. Yeah. You're used to this now. But are you fed up with people asking you about the episode? Have you had to say a few lies just to throw people off the track?
We've all been lying. We're all ministers of disinformation in Doctor Who. There's lots of doctors out there telling slight fibs, and
yes.
that's making it all a bit more exciting. The trouble is, keeping secrets is now so difficult that you sort of have to spread a little bit of a web of nonsense. So we've all been uniting on that.
Can you give us a clue as to what John Hurt was doing there?
Well...
Can you say anything?
About John Hurt? Well, we've revealed quite a lot. You saw him as a previously unmentioned incarnation.
Yes.
At the very end of Name of the Doctor. And just a few days ago... and if you haven't seen it, you must rush to iPlayer and YouTube and all those things right now and see The Night of the Doctor, where we see Paul McGann returning to the role and regenerating into the John Hurt Doctor. And so we know that he's a previously undisclosed incarnation of the Doctor,
yes.
In between Paul McGann, and we must presume, but who knows what may happen on Saturday, Christopher Eccleston.
Okay.
I know. God.
All right, then. I'm not going to get anything out of you, am I?
Well, that was quite a lot, I thought.
Was it? Okay. All right, I've got another couple of minutes then. I will press you. So how big a job was writing the 50th anniversary episode? Did you feel pressurised?
Oh, massively.
Did you?
Of course you do. I mean, at the beginning, what you feel pressurised is not what I'm feeling pressurised about now, which is the fact it's going to 90 countries and all that at once, and all it's in 12D or something. It's
yeah.
not... What then was just the sheer... A difficulty at every level of making such a show with that cast, trying to make it without letting everybody know what we're doing. Just the sheer complexity at every level. Making our first 3D project, making 3D at a speed that no one ever has. That was not principally my problem. That was Marcus Wilson and Nick Herron's problem, and they were geniuses at solving those problems. I think everyone would say... of the 50th, of the Day of the Doctor, that while it might be one of the most exciting things you've ever done, it was easily one of the most difficult. It was a
right.
really tricky one to do. Of course it was.
Well, not everyone has caught the Doctor Who train, OK? Will the 50th anniversary episode be a great starting point for people who think they've missed the boat? Or the TARDIS?
I certainly hope so. We're always in a recruitment drive on Doctor Who. It appalls me at a deeply personal level, morally, that there are some people who still don't watch it. What are they doing? So, yes, please come and watch our mad show. You will see more explosions and more fun and more running and see more gags and have more surprises than anything else, I promise.
OK, so where did the story for the Day of the Doctor come from?
Well, if I told you that,
I'd be telling you
the story of the Day of the Doctor, wouldn't I? It's a good try, though.
Yeah, I did try. I thought I was just being conversational and then just throw another one
No,
in.
I remembered it was on the radio. You see, I did that.
You brought back David Tennant and Billy Piper. What was it like seeing them back on set together?
It was very funny, actually, because it has more of an effect on me than it can issue. I know David really well. He's a friend. And, of course, I know Matt really well. He's a friend. And to see the two of them standing together in costume just fanboyed me out of sight. I was a hole in the floor at the sight of that. And that's just two blokes I know wearing costumes. I really shouldn't be that impressed. It was incredibly exciting. And it was just brilliant, after all those years, to see Billy back on the show.
Yes.
But the fun thing about that was Billy is actually very good friends with both David and Matt.
Right.
And as everyone else felt the same way, but she had a particular sense of guilt if she felt she was talking to one more than the other.
Oh.
So if she was standing talking to David, she'd find herself reaching over and rubbing Matt's arm,
yes,
just to reassure him, that there was doctor parity.
Were they like two stags battling over their territory during rutting season?
No. They were like two housewives gossiping in a corner. I can't lie. Actually, Matt came up with the best line in what it's like seeing the two doctors together. He said, it's like Laurel and Laurel. It's like Hardy didn't turn up. Except that John Hurt does turn up and he kind of is Hardy. But yes, they're both sort of caffeinated, excited, gabbling, lovely doctors. So they're, and I think rutting stags would be slightly the wrong image.
Okay.
Good heavens, what were you thinking of?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Obviously, you don't remember the early ones back in 1963, but what are your first
memories?
You don't say that.
Of course I do.
You're too young for that.
That's very kind of you, the advantage of radio. first memories?
Of Doctor Who now.
Well, my first one that I can grab hold of is complaining to my dad that Doctor Who wasn't in Doctor Who anymore. Who was this young bloke with the black hair? And my dad was saying, "No, you missed it last week. He changed." So obviously I'd been watching it up until that point.
Okay.
Because I was missing William Hartnell.
Yeah.
So I remember saying to my dad, "But that can't be Doctor Who. He's far too young," said the future man who would cast Matt Smith. So it was that's my clearest, earliest memory.
OK, then. Well, since you took over the baby, then, Russell T. Davies' baby, isn't it?
Yes. It's our joint baby. Let's start the rumours now.
Sorry, it's your what?
No, it's carry on.
But you could... How easy or how hard was it to put your own stamp on the show?
Do you know, I never thought for a second, not for one day, not for one moment of putting my own stamp on it. I just want to make good Doctor Who. That's it. Doesn't matter. People don't care if I put a stamp on it or not. Who gives a damn about me? It's all about making great Doctor Who. Now, inevitably, that will inflect it in ways that I'm interested in, I suppose. But really, the important thing with Doctor Who is that it is its own show. And when writers come on and directors come on, what I'm always saying to them, if you really want to do this show well, treat it like you own it. Don't try and please me, please the audience.
Mm.
That's the important thing. So my stamp could not matter less.
But I know you've said in the past that you think the BBC were wrong to axe it back in 1989. And Michael Gray, the former BBC controller at the time, thought the show was ghastly and pathetic. But would we have what we've got today if it hadn't had that 16-year break?
Yes. To be absolutely honest, I mean, what it needed back then was when it was, you know, yes, it was getting a bit tired. That's absolutely true. We can't deny it. Although the last couple of years, the original series show a real creative renaissance. It was axed blindly and foolishly because it was still a powerhouse franchise. It's like Eon deciding not to make James Bond films. It's just silly.
Yeah.
One could always argue that you give something a rest. Nothing needs a 16-year rest. Give it a couple of years, maybe, and bring it back. That would have been perhaps a sensible thing to do. I don't know. But it was madness to get rid of it like that. And it was a sort of continued madness that it stayed off air for so long before Lorraine Hegarty insisted that it came back, quite right too.
And, of course, it came to Wales. What do you think Wales or the production and the locations here in Wales have given the new Doctor Who?
Well, more than anything, it's given a wild enthusiasm. When Doctor Who came here, it was greeted with what it's still greeted with was just that absolute dedication and enthusiasm of the Welsh production team, of the Welsh people who make it. They love it to bits and they are so proud of it and so proud of all the shows they make here. Now, in the time since Doctor Who came here, BBC Wales in particular has become a sort of powerhouse of television. It's a major, major player. And the sheer, glittering, floating-to-the-sky pride of of my Welsh friends in that is spectacular to behold. And, you know, you get a different bunch of locations. If you make everything out of London, basically you see the same seven streets in the end. Now we've got a different seven streets, and they're all in Cardiff. Doctor Who has gained a massive infusion of enthusiasm and new talent from a whole generation of Welsh television people who don't think they have to get on a train and move to London in order to join showbiz. They can do it right here, and that is exciting. It's much more exciting when the circus is your town.
Yes, most definitely, Stephen. We've got a question from a listener here. Hiya, Larry. You and Morgan from Aberdeen here. I'd like to ask Stephen Moffat how he copes with criticism from fans who have their own ideas about how the show should be run.
Crying. I just cry. I find that's the best way of dealing with it. Crying and saying I'm misunderstood and they all hate me and sitting in a corner rocking. I find that is the most effective way of dealing with it.
They
sometimes random acts
you.
Of violence, I don't know.
No, but they forgive you, don't they? Because they have to.
Do they forgive
to.
You? Oh,
they have
look,
no choice.
The condition of being a fan is essentially you know you become a fan of something when you think it used to be better. From that second, that means you're a proper enthusiast. When you want to tell other people off for not watching it well enough. But all criticism wounds, I'll never pretend it doesn't.
OK, thank you very much, Ewan Morgan from Aberdeen there. Going back to Matt Smith, you brought him in, of course, but how much of a blow was it to lose him when he quit? Or is it all part and parcel of the show? Does it keep the show fresh?
Well, all three of those things are simply true. It was a huge blow to lose Matt because massively popular and hugely brilliant Doctor, and the Doctor who cracked America and made the show expand worldwide to the way it has. It's now to something like 77 million viewers internationally. Without Matt, we simply wouldn't be doing a simulcast to 90 countries or whatever it is now. That's an extraordinary achievement on Matt's part.
Yeah.
So to lose him is a blow also because he became a really, really good friend. And so my mate was leaving the show. So at a simple
human. So you don't speak to
level,
him anymore, do you?
No, I've just said, that's it, Matt. Now you're not
all
the
right,
Doctor. I'm
enough.
Blanking you. No, of course, I saw him at Buckingham Palace the other day, as one does. Of course I'm still in touch with Matt. He's a really good friend. But we're not working together in Doctor Who anymore. And that makes me... That is properly sad. But yes, Doctor Who does depend on this. Doctor Who not merely survives change, it thrives on it. Doctor Who is about change. Every time there's a new Doctor, it's scary. It kicks the show up in the air and you don't quite know where it's going to land. It just makes this ancient tradition a brand new thing. If something can be traditional and brand new at the same time, then you've squared a circle that is worth squaring.
So, Peter Capaldi,
yes.
He's the new Doctor Who.
He is.
What will he bring to this part?
Well, Scottishness, I think, which is the most important thing of all, surely. The most important quality anyone could bring. Is Scottishness. He's a completely brilliant actor.
Are you a bit biased here?
I can't think of it. As someone who grew up in Scotland and is Scottish myself, I think I have a very unbiased view of the Scots because I know them very, very well, and yet I still like them. he's a genius actor. I think that's very, very obvious to anyone who's ever seen his work. He's a huge enthusiast for Doctor Who. He brings massive love of the show. To the show.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sort of always wanted to do it.
Was he top of your list then?
He was the list.
That's it. No others.
People have started to disbelieve me in this, but it was absolutely true. We sat around thinking, what if Peter Capaldi would say yes to Doctor Who and nobody ever asked him? Wouldn't that be awful? So we asked him, and we were careful. We did bring him in and get him to read some lines and audition him a bit and see how it looked and sounded.
Yeah.
But what he didn't know, he was the only one we were meeting. And it was instantly obvious that this is the way we should go and the way we should change the show.
Is the show going to become darker?
Darker?
Yes.
It already involves the end of the universe on a regular basis. How much darker do you get at the end of two universes? Darker, it does change. It becomes darker and lighter week by week. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like to say the word darker, but I think inevitably Peter will explore the aspects of the character that are best exemplified by a slightly older actor, by a fiercer looking actor.
Mm.
I think that's an inevitable thing. But there's always both a darkness and a joy in Doctor Who, and both things are important. You slide the faders up and down a bit, but essentially it's it's both darkness and joy. And if you don't have both, it's not quite the show.
Well, the 50th episode, of course, the anniversary episode this Saturday night.
Yes.
Do you think Doctor Who will still be on TV in another 50 years?
Yes.
If you have your way?
Will you still
be doing it in 50 years?
Yes. Obviously, it'll be me, and I'll be 102. So that'll be a record for me. I'll be very, very pleased about it.
But aren't you glad you weren't the producer back in 1963?
Was I glad? Well, I think I'd have been very proud, incredibly proud. to have launched an amazing series like this. And indeed, if I can just get a plug in,
yes.
The story of Verity Lambert and the team who launched Doctor Who is being told tonight on BBC Two at 9 o'clock in Adventures in Space and Time by my old friend Mark Gatiss, with David Bradley as William Hartnell. An absolutely beautiful film that will take you back to the beginning of Doctor Who and give you a fantastic insight into the world that gave birth to this show, the very different world that gave birth to this show.